And the children will be leaving to go for children's time. We'll see them again in a minute. I'm going to tell you what, I love to hear those girls sing.
I love it too.
Yeah, something else. They might have to have a choir or something. All right. I want to go back to revisit a portion of the gospel text and bring some other text in. To reflect on a message we're going to call, "What Spirit Is This?" Let's pray. Father, in your heart, your word resides as if it were unspoken, and yet also as if it were spoken before all things, eternally new, eternally for us. The power of your Spirit today, enable us to hear your word and bind every unclean spirit that would hinder, that would follow your people with assignments within this space. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
So, Mark 3, just bring back context, verse 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they," the Pharisees, "were saying, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" What trouble we could avoid in the body of Christ if we could only acknowledge the Holy Spirit in the works of God. It's just as if to speak of God is a good thing, sit on a bar stool and have a good chat, you know, about God. That's wonderful for most people, but you bring Jesus into the mix and things get poisonous in a hurry. And then don't even think about bringing the Holy Ghost into a conversation.
Amen.
What spirit is this? The Pharisees came on an errand to see Jesus. Their errand was from Satan. These were men of God. These were the religious leaders and the teachers of God's people. To them, they were doing God a favor today. Nobody could question their devotion. They could quote scripture, probably entire chapters and books for all I know. They could give you the law in terms of how it affected your daily life. They could render judgments on how you should go about making your decisions. But today, because Jesus was in town, they had an errand from Satan. They accused Jesus of having the Spirit and doing his work and casting out spirits in the name of Beelzebub, Satan. Can you imagine the Son of God, the very Son of God in the flesh, standing before you and being so convinced in your religion, in your religious presuppositions, in your arrogant use of Scripture, in your religious pomposity, to say to the Son of God, "You have a devil"? Happens all the time. And while all God's little people and all the little churches all wonder if they've ever committed the unforgivable sin, which you cannot do if you're a Christian, Say, let's get us up a Bible study on Revelations. Let's talk about the end of time and God's coming back. Jesus is going to get us all. We're going to be caught up in the clouds. But, oh, Lord, don't be doing none of that Holy Ghost jumping around. Don't be talking to me about no Jesus in terms of anything that's not dignified. And if you mention spirits, I'm out of here. So they made this accusation to Jesus. And Jesus says, really? Can Satan cast out Satan? How does that work? And he tells a little parable. He says, you know, you can't go into the house of a strong man and plunder his goods unless first you bind up the strong man. And what he was saying was the Son of Man has come into the world to plunder the strong man's goods. The house belongs to Satan. The people are under his influence. The world governments are under his control. And I have come into the world to plunder his house. And I have to bind the strong man. And if you blaspheme, if you speak against the miracles and the works that I am doing, if you think harshly of me or my people because of the works they are doing, you are committing an unforgivable sin, a sin that will not be remitted. And no, if you're sitting here with the Spirit of Christ in your heart today, you have not committed an unforgivable sin. Sin.
Amen.
Committing the unforgivable sin means ascribing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And we have to be careful about that because we may not always approve of the things the Holy Spirit is doing. We may not always like the Pharisees. They said, let's get over there and clean this, mop this up. Let's send a cleanup crew over there. Jesus is doing crazy stuff. Let's get a handle on this. We always sometimes think that we're cleaning things up, make it palatable for God's people. In 1 John 4, well, Jesus says, test the spirits. 1 John 4, 1 through 6, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit from God confesses Jesus in a certain way. Now, demons believe in Jesus. You may not believe in them, but they believe in you and they believe in Jesus. They know all about Jesus. They know Scripture better than you do. Sometimes they walk around in churches on Sunday morning in full and total possession of people.
Amen.
Their one mission is to distract and divide attention away.
Amen.
From the true Christ. Confessing Jesus as Lord means acknowledging that the Messiah is Jesus Christ, the one who is to come to save the world. The Messiah has come, here's a catch, in the flesh. In the flesh. To confess Jesus, the Messiah, has come from God in the flesh, it says that person is from God. And if a person cannot do that, they are not of God. So don't believe every spirit. Some people don't believe in spirits at all. In some kind of deistic weirdness or some atheistic practicality, deny spirituality at all. Believe fully in the supernatural in terms of some God somewhere hearing their little tiny voice pray, but denying the angelic, the created beings, the messengers of God, and those of Antichrist. Those who cannot confess Jesus the Lord in the flesh have an Antichrist spirit. The worst thing is, and the reason I want to point it out is because in the religious realm, they believe they are very much speaking for God. I told you once about a friend of mine who went on a vision quest and invited me to do the same. And of course, he had no fetters. He had no conditions in his heart about what he would experience. And so as he went on this vision quest, two very tall creatures came to greet him. They were very beautiful and pleasing to look at. But they said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to speak to God. I'd like to speak to Jesus." And they said, "Well, he's busy. We can speak to you for God." Don't presume to know by any other test than the one the Scripture gives. Can the Spirit confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the Son of God, as Messiah? Scriptures assume that you and I know how to test spirits. I spend a lot of my time in the day doing this. A sudden conversation, a pop-up encounter, a brief or disturbing conversation, and you say to yourself inwardly, "What spirit is this?" And the person's babbling, blah, 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 you know, just talking about it, and they don't really have anything. You just go, "Oh my gosh, what spirit is this?" And the person themselves, of course, they don't know. Many times. 25, 30 years ago, I would have thought I was crazy if I could hear a recording of this sermon. That's the kind of lunatic you become in people's eyes. And all the while, you see people in the world being ridden like a donkey. Saddled backwards, a bit in the mouth, riding and whooping and hollering while their human feast, the human pleasure and fun, counters agony after agony. Folks, the people all around us need to know that they are fodder, spiritual fodder, in a world of supernatural activity.
Amen.
There is a world and a realm that can see straight to you, that can interact upon you, where activity occurs, as we see in the book of Daniel, where angel opposes angel. Oh, I don't know how my car avoided that accident. Suddenly it moved. I don't know how that bullet missed, but it hit my Bible. On and on, as we read into these things, it speaks of activity the Scripture says is true. And we have a practical atheism that says, if I can't see it, taste it, touch it, test it, it doesn't exist. But if you invite me to come to your house, or if you prefer I send somebody else, we can show you the strong man in your house. Could demonstrate for you what a fool the person is who believes in a God who's supernatural but refuses to believe in the supernatural activity against them. What spirit is this? Matthew 16, 15 through 17, Jesus was standing and staring at the disciples, asking them what do people say? Who do they say I am? And they gave him some replies, and you know, he said, well then, who do you say I am? And Peter, because he was Peter, right? Simon. He said, looked at Jesus, you are the Christ. That's confessing Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. Blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father in heaven. If you only knew the power that your citizenship in the kingdom of God brings with it. If you'd only discover that intellectual people have a way of testing and trying out and learning these things as if they were in an environment, a laboratory in school. If you knew that there are ways to be educated and become knowledgeable about these things in a way that makes you vibrate, makes people feel uncomfortable, like you feel right now in this sermon. If you were willing to set aside the time to say, I don't know about this, but I want to learn. Hey, you know, I've learned some valuable prayers to pray in my life. Here's some of them. Lord, I need wisdom. One of the greatest prayers you can pray. I need wisdom. Lord, I need love. I need more love. I need more faith. Lord, what spirit is this? What's going on here? Help me see. And if you have a heart that's willing, you might be surprised by the next impressions you receive. Now, if this goes completely against your worldview, there's nothing here for you. This message falls, of course, flat. But if you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh today, if you know that and confess you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you know what spirit you are of. And I invite you to put on your spiritual armor and go forth in the world and conduct experiments. God is willing to teach you. And when you see things and hear things and you hear people, now some people have the spirit of death on them, you'll hear that. Some have the spirit of murder and suicide on them. You'll hear that. As you ask the Lord, what is this? You'll hear it. And you'll know. So I ask you today, of what spirit are you? And if your spirit is as my spirit, what does that require of you? In this time, in this world. Remember, Jesus said, you can't go into the home and plunder the strong man's home. Unless you know how to bind the strong man.
Amen.
Whose spirit do you have today? Let's take a few minutes, and I want to tell you that if you have a need for prayer this morning, if you'll come to the altar, we'll pray with you. Raise your hand. But people come to the altar all the time for a multitude of things. But come if you need prayer. Raise your hand. I'll come and pray with you. Otherwise, we'll leave you alone.